Good morning. This is 88.3 WLIW-FM and 96.9 FM. I'm Michael Mackey. Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water, Robert Brodsky reports on Newsday.com that a pair of shark attacks on Long Island last week, one in Nassau and the other in Suffolk, have rattled the nerves of beachgoers and swimmers just as the weather heats up and tens of thousands of residents flock to the shore. But while marine scientists concede that shark sightings in the region are up, due in part to climate change, a healthier ecosystem, and better tracking of the events, they say the number of attacks from the feared ocean predators remains exceedingly low. As quoted in Newsday, "I wouldn't be particularly concerned," said Hofstra Biology Department Chair Peter Daniel. "There's a lot of things to be more worried about. State beaches and county beaches have beefed up their patrols and are really trying to pay attention to it. So with the added oversight, I think that people are pretty safe," said Professor Daniel. On Thursday, a 37-year-old man was swimming off Jones Beach when he was bitten on his right foot, possibly by a shark. 3 days later, Zach Gallo, a veteran lifeguard, said he was participating in a training exercise off Smith Point Beach in Shirley when a 4 to 5 foot long shark bit him on the chest. The shark also bit Gallo's right hand as he tried to fend off the apex predator, officials said. Gallo was able to make it to shore with assistance from other lifeguards who were also participating in the training and was treated at South Shore University Hospital for stitches and treatment. On Long Island, there were more than 24 shark sightings, including blacktip, bull, sandbar, and thresher sharks at South Shore beaches last summer, compared to 20 in the summer of 2020, according to officials. Chris Paparo, Stony Brook University's Marine Sciences Center manager, said increased sightings are linked in part to new technology, such as drones and the widespread use of social media, which makes it easier for the public to share their experiences. He tells Newsday, "I don't think all of a sudden we're swarmed with sharks," said Paparo. He's a member of Bridgehampton's South Fork Natural History Museum's shark research team. "But technology is allowing us to see these things. When I was a kid, you heard about it through the grapevine, but now someone catches a shark, it's being broadcast live on YouTube or Instagram." Despite the recent attacks, the number of unprovoked shark bites worldwide is extremely low, given the number of people participating in aquatic recreation each year, according to the Florida Museum of Natural History's International Shark Attack File. The museum investigated 137 alleged shark-human interactions worldwide in 2021 and confirmed 73 unprovoked shark bites on humans. The 47 confirmed unprovoked shark bites in the U.S. last year is 42% higher than the 33 in 2020, the group found, and this is worldwide. The 641,000-square-foot warehouse facility on Middle Road, proposed by North Point Development of Kansas City, Missouri, will be reviewed by the Suffolk County Planning Commission today at 2 p.m. The meeting will take place via Zoom. Denise Civiletti reports on RiverheadLocal.com that Riverhead Logistics Center is a 520-foot by 1,232-foot, 50-foot-tall warehouse building proposed for 39.7 acres of vacant industrial-zoned land on Middle Road opposite Toomey Avenue in Riverhead. The developer proposes to extend both the Riverhead Water District and the Riverhead Sewer District to serve the facility. The meeting is not a public hearing. Anyone wishing to address the Planning Commission must submit a request prior to the meeting. Art Market Hamptons is moving. Kitty Merrill reports on 27East.com that the International Art Fair will be held this August at the Novus Art Project off Millstone Road in Watermill, according to Southampton Town officials. The subject of complaint and petition, the fair, replete with weeks of noisy setup, was decried by its previous neighbors on Corwith Avenue in Bridgehampton. They said that in the past, the entire festival, from setup to breakdown, held on a farm field owned by Queen of the Most Holy Rosary Church in Bridgehampton, went on for 7 precious summer weeks. Last year was the fair's 11th season. Last month, the Town of Southampton committee that oversees special event permits told Art Market's new owners, the event planning firm known as A21, to resubmit a scaled-back application or look for a different site. According to Southampton Town Public Safety and Emergency Management Administrator Ryan Murphy, A21 chose to move the event to a different location. As quoted on 27East.com, not only did we hear the concerns of the neighbors, he said on Friday, but the new owners of the event planning firm also heard the concerns of the neighbors. Although the new owners tried to address the attenuated setup timeline as well as parking concerns, Murphy said, when push came to shove, it was best to try a new location. Neighbors in Bridgehampton complained that the popular event clogged Corwith Avenue, making it impossible to get through. The new location totally takes traffic away from downtown, Murphy said. The original plan looked to host the event from August 11th to the 14th, with setup beginning on July 18th. The Riverhead Town Board will vote to approve the final site plan for the five-story mixed-use building at the corner of Osborne Avenue and Court Street today, making it the first project in the blighted Long Island Railroad Station area to receive full approval since the town of Riverhead began revitalization efforts in the area last year. Alec Lewis reports on RiverheadLocal.com that the development, known as 205 Osborne, will include 37 market-rate rental apartments, 24 one-bedroom, 10 two-bedroom, and 3 studio units, above ground-floor office space. The $19.6 million project was proposed by the Huntington-based G2D Group and will be built on the vacant property that was once home to a blighted former medical office located next to the Free Library of Bridgehampton and Riverhead. That's right next to the Riverhead Free Library. The board granted the project preliminary site plan approval in February after holding a public hearing on December 7th. The project was the first proposal within the Railroad Avenue Overlay District, which allows increased density and a greater variety of use to incentivize new development in the area. Kelly Dennis was in the midst of planning the ticketing for the Shinnecock Nation's 76th annual Labor Day weekend powwow when she received a letter notifying her that she had been selected to be part of the U.S. Department of the Interior's Secretary's Tribal Advisory Committee. She tells 27East.com, "I was just overwhelmed with pride for myself and my nation." Sophie Griffin reports on 27East.com that Dennis, an enrolled tribal member of the Shinnecock Nation, as well as an attorney and secretary of the Shinnecock Council of Trustees, will serve as a primary member of the committee for a two-year term, which began upon her notification on June 15th, with meetings beginning either before or after the powwow, so in late August or early September. Once again, that's Ms. Kelly Dennis. As a Long Islander, the Big Duck is either an iconic part of your East End memories or it's a featured symbol of your childhood you haven't visited in quite some time. At a new art exhibit nestling in the North Fork, the iconic roadside attraction has been reconfigured in imaginative ways. "Everybody knows about the Big Duck, but I don't know anybody who's done a show about it," says painter and gallerist 60-year-old Glenn Hansen, whose studio in Southold is home to the exhibition through August 28th, "so I said, let's do it." Josie Mianowitz reports on Newsday.com that a group of 20 artists flocked to the famous 91-year-old duck for creative juice. Homages include paintings, sculptures, video, photographs, written word pieces, plus works in other media. Southold resident Carla Saladino, who collects art and manages a New York City real estate firm, was hit by a wave of nostalgia during the show opening. "When I was growing up, my grandparents had a house in Aquabog. We always passed the Big Duck on the way there as kids and really loved it." The concrete waterfowl-shaped building first roosted in Riverhead in 1931 as a place to sell ducks and eggs. It later moved to Flanders, then to Hampton Bays, and back to Flanders in 2007. Since 1993, it has housed a small museum. The Big Duck exhibit is on view Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., or by appointment at the Glenn Hansen Studio, 1560 Youngs Avenue in Southold. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.